Let's join the worship center at Life Church, where the service is already in progress.
We're beginning a new series this morning on the modern ark. Now, you just thought the ark was for Genesis, but it's not. It's for today, too. You know, God thinks that it was important enough to write it down in Genesis. And so we know that it's important for us today, and there's lessons for today that we need to know, that we need to learn. And, you know, today we are in a Noahic situation. We find ourselves in the same position as Noah, and as we study out the life of Noah and the things that happened with the ark these next couple of weeks, you will see that this applies to us today. Genesis applies to us today. God knew the beginning from the end, and He laid down the foundation. And it's important for us to go back and study and see, because it gives us how to handle the situation in the day that we live in. So I encourage you over the next 3 weeks to sit down and study Genesis chapter 6 through chapter 9. We're not going to have time to read the total of it today if I just sat here and read three chapters to you. By the time it would be over, you'd be in food coma from the pancakes and the sausage and all the stuff. And, you know, I wouldn't have anybody left listening. But I encourage you to take your Bible out or your tablet or whichever way you do it at home and open it up and read these chapters in the Bible, because there are lessons for us today and things that we need to be doing today that Noah did in his day. And so we're going to be looking at the ark and how it's modern for us today. And today, the first part of our series is Nutty Noah. We're going to talk about obedience to God's word, even in things that God may ask that we're like, you want me to do what? Build an ark? So let's dive into this. Beginning in chapter 6, verse 5, and we're going to be skipping around these three chapters this morning. That's why it's going to be important that you go home and read the whole thing, because you're going to get a lot more out of it if you read all these chapters together. So, we're going to first look at the wicked generation that Noah lived in. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that He had made man on this earth, and He was grieved at His heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy and blot out and wipe away mankind, whom I've created from the face of the ground. Not only man, but the beast and the creeping things and the birds of the air, for it grieves me and makes me regretful that I made them. Goodness. Goodness. Their behavior grieved God. Their sin grieved God, and He regretted that He had made them. But look at this next part. But Noah found grace and favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the history of the generations of Noah. Noah was a just and a righteous man, blameless, and in his evil generation, Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God. And Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was depraved and putrid in God's sight. And the land was filled with violence and desecration and infringement and outrage and assault and a lust for power. And God looked upon the world and saw how degenerate and debased and vicious it was. For all of humanity had corrupted their way upon the earth and lost their true direction. God said to Noah, I intend to make an end of all flesh. Through men, the land is filled with violence. And behold, I will destroy them and the land. Now, if we took it out of the context of the Bible, and we took it out of the context of Genesis, and we just read that, it could very well be our society today. It could very well describe the things that we see going on in our world today. People have a lust for power. People think out every evil thought imaginable and act it out. such as were in the times of Noah, it is today. We live in a wicked generation. There's sin that abounds on the earth. And God is looking down on the earth today and asking, who in the earth is in right standing with me? Who finds favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord? I pray that we be the one that God can see doing right. There are enough people in the earth today doing wrong. Let God find us doing right when He looks down on the earth. You know, God talked about this again in Revelation when He was speaking to the church. This wasn't even to just everyday people who don't even know Jesus, to the people who don't even have a relationship with Him. In the last days, in the end times, God was speaking to the church, and He says in Revelation 3:15-16, I know your works, you're not hot or cold. I wish you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm and not hot or cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's strong words. He says, because you're not hot or cold, because you're just average in the middle, just going through the motions, it makes me so sick that I will spew you out of my mouth. Those are strong words from the Lord. And they're to the church in the last day. It's time that we realize the time and the season that we live in, that we are in the generation of the coming of the Lord, and that God has things for us to do, and it's time not to be on the fence. It's time to make up our mind. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to stand for righteousness. We're going to stand for what the Word of God says. I wish that you were cold or hot. You know, that's the thing. God says, He's like, I wish you were cold or you were hot. He's like, I wish that you would make up your mind, but because you're trying to ride the fence, it disgusts me. And it makes me ill. I encourage us to set ourselves on fire and ablaze for the Lord. To be passionate about the things of God again. Not to ride the fence. And do just enough. Have you ever known someone like that? Maybe you've worked with them before, somebody like that. They do just enough to get by. Just enough to meet the minimum requirements. God is not looking for us to do just enough. He wants us sold out, 100%, walking out His commands, living to make Him look good in every single thing that we do. So, there is a wicked generation. And we can see that our generation today is the same as in the days of Noah. This week you read what was happening in the days of Noah. Dig in there. See what was going on in the chapters before. There was some crazy mess going on. I encourage us that in these last days, in the days where we will see the coming of the Lord, that we take stands for righteousness, that we take a stand for His Word, and that we do exactly what God says to do. So we're not left out of the ark. Not only was there a wicked generation, but then God commanded obedience. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 14 through 22. So God sees the wicked generation. He sees the things that people are doing, and He has a plan. I'm glad God always has a plan. And I don't know about you, but I want to be right in the middle of it because I don't want to miss anything that God's doing. And I think you want to be in the middle of it too. So let's see what God's plan is. Genesis chapter 6, 14 through 22. He said to Noah, make yourself an ark of gopher or cypress wood. Make it in rooms or stalls, pens, coops, nests, cages, compartments. Cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is the way that you should make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. You shall make a roof or a window, a place for light for the ark, and finish it to a cubit above the, and the door of the ark, you shall put it on the side of it, and you shall make it lower, second and third stories. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy and make putrid all flesh under the heavens, in which there are breath and spirit of life. For everything that is on the land shall die. So, God says, okay, make an ark. And then he proceeds to tell him how to make the ark. Well, in these last days that we live in, God says, do this, and then he'll tell us exactly how to do it. He'll lay it out in his word. Notice God didn't say, I'll just go cut down any old wood you want to. Whatever tree looks good. You know, and I know you've never made a boat before, but just slap some wood together and it'll float. He gave specific instruction on how to build the ark. He even gave measurements, and I don't think Noah had a ruler. I don't think he was out there with his measuring tape. He gave measurements, specific instructions, down to where to put the window, down to where to place the door. God has laid out specific instruction in his word for us. Down to where to put the window and where the door goes. He didn't just say, well, you know, whatever kind of wood you want, take it and hack it down and build it. That'll be good. No, he said, you go get some gopher wood. Now, he must have used up all the gopher wood in the world because we don't have any gopher trees around here. I mean, it's a big ark. I don't know that that's the truth, but you know. So he went and got gopher wood. And he did it exactly like God said. Now, this is one thing you have to know about Noah. He had never seen rain. Rain is a common occurrence to us. Noah didn't know what a flood was. It's not like they had ever had that before. What would we do if we had never seen rain before, if we had never seen a flood, and God said, okay, now, Josh and Kelly, you get Life Church together and y'all get down there and cut up all the cypress trees and oak trees you can find and start building an ark. Well, what's an ark? Well, it's a big old boat. What am I going to do? Well, you're going to put giraffes in it? Well, where am I going to get a giraffe from? And, you know, I mean, that sounds a little crazy. Sometimes God asks us to do things that to us seem crazy. But to him, it fits masterfully into his perfect plan. Don't give up and quit when God asks you to do something crazy. What if Noah had not followed God's specific instruction? I don't think he would have been saved. I think God would have just scrapped the whole thing and started over. Noah followed his specific instruction. Why? Because Noah didn't know what a flood looked like. Noah didn't know what rain looked like. But God did. And God knew. And he knew how to prepare Noah perfectly so that he would have all the supplies, all the animals, all the protection, all the people that he needed. He knew how to get Noah in line in every single thing that Noah would need to make sure that he survived the flood and the rain. How much more if we will follow God and get with his plan, his way of doing things. When he lays out a plan, even though we can't see the end from the beginning, because I don't know about you, but I like to know. I'm a knower. I like to fix things. I like to know things. I like to have a plan. And then we're going to follow that plan and it's all going to work out. And then I got backup plans and backup plans for my backup plans. I'm a planner. Pray for my husband. He told me before we got married, he's like, I know you like to plan, but plans don't usually work out with me. So just get ready for that and just never make a plan. So he has mercy and grace with all my planning. But many times we don't see the end. We don't see exactly where God is taking us. Can you imagine? What if Noah knew exactly what was going to happen? And he had a picture of his mind, what that flood would be. And then he started building that ark and he said, you know what? I think that that pitch isn't going to work. I think that this would work better because I know what's coming and I know how to, you know, I can see down here how this is going to work. No, he followed God's instruction. He didn't try to come up with his own plan to build an ark. He didn't go out and get grapevines and start weaving them together to make a basket to float in. He followed God's plan exactly. But I will establish my covenant, my promise, and my pledge with you, and you will come into the ark, and you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And every living thing of all flesh found on the land, you will bring two of every sort into the ark. And I would have stopped God right there and said, are you sure you need two mosquitoes? We don't need these. Are you sure you need two lions? Now, what are you going to feed them? They shall be male and female, of fowls and birds according to their kind, of beast according to their kind, of every creeping thing. And I would have been like, God, I got to bring the creeps with me that creep on the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come in with you, that they may be kept alive. Also take with you every sort of food that's eaten, and you will collect and store it up and serve for food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. What has God commanded us? What has He laid out in His Word for us to do? Before we start on anything new, we should start with the Word. Because that was His first Word, and why would He give another Word if we aren't doing the first Word? So, when we look at the Word of God, are we doing this? Are we doing all that God commanded us to do? Because in the last days, we're going to need an ark, a place of protection, a place that God tells us to go to be safe, a net of safety. He said in Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So in these dark times that we live in, there is an ark, a place of salvation, a place of refuge for us to go to. And we need to follow God's specific instructions to get in that place. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. If Noah had not done all that God commanded him, the ark would not have been a good enough protection for him. But because he specifically followed God's instruction and God's plan and the way that he laid it out, and he did everything that was commanded him, he was made safe. Genesis 7, 1 through 6. The Lord said to Noah, come with all your household into the ark, for I have seen you to be righteous and upright and in right standing before me and in this generation. Now, first of all, let's talk about this. Can you imagine what was happening while he was building that ark? He wasn't the only person on the earth. There were people everywhere. Crazy people. Can you imagine what they were saying to him? What are you doing? What are you building? Remember, no one had ever seen rain. And it wasn't like you could put that thing in the Nile and float. You know, nobody had ever seen anything like this before. I mean, this boat was bigger than the river. This boat was bigger than the pond. It'd like be like trying to put a yacht in our pond out there. It'd look a little ridiculous. A cruise ship in our pond. I don't even think it would fit. All of a sudden, you drive by one day and we're out here building a big old cruise ship. Well, what are you doing? Well, we're building an ark. Well, what's an ark? Well, I don't know. It's a big boat. Well, what are you doing it for? Because there's a flood coming. Well, what's a flood? Well, I don't know what a flood is, but it's coming. Now, what do you think people thought about that? And in the days that we live in, and the times that we live in, God may ask us to do some things that don't seem natural. Now, I'm not saying we all go home and start building cruise ships in our front yard, okay? Don't go home and start chopping down trees. But when God gives a specific instruction, are we just a little nutty enough to follow it? Are we crazy enough to believe God and what He says? Are we crazy enough to follow God's instruction to the letter? Well, all I know is it's going to flood. Oh, that crazy Noah, he hadn't been drinking water. He's been drinking something else. Y'all just leave him alone. He's just crazy. He thinks a flood's coming. Now, what we're going to find out in a little bit is it was 100 years from the time God told him to build the ark till the time the flood came. So that's a long time to be waiting. Come out 50 years later. Well, Noah, what you doing? Well, I'm still working on this ark over here. You crazy Noah. And when God tells us to do something, we must have the sticking power to stick with it. The faith to stick with it. That God's word is true, that what He says will come to pass, and it may not look like we think it ought to look, but we are building God's kingdom the way He wants it built, and we are waiting for His return, and we are doing the things that God has called us to do. So, we're not going to build a big ship out in the front yard, because God hadn't said, go get your gopher wood. Now, if God speaks to me, it'll have to be through a burning bush to go grab some gopher wood, because I don't even know He's going to have to burn up one of the bushes, rosemary bushes, in the front yard to talk to me about that one. But God will give us specific instructions for the days and the times that we live in. And we need to be in tune to the Holy Spirit so that we can hear and know and do. Just like Noah did. So, chapter 7, it's about time. Every beast of the field, every beast you shall receive and take it with you, 7 pairs, the male and its mate, and of the beasts that are not clean, a pair of each kind, and the male and its mate, and also of the birds of the air, 7 pairs, the male and the female, to keep seed their kind alive over the earth or land. For in 7 days... So 100 years has passed, and then all of a sudden God starts talking to Noah. Noah, time to herd up these animals, because in 7 days it's coming. Can you imagine? Now, Lord, how am I going to get these giraffes to go up this ramp? What are we going to do? A week ago, I herded chickens. I felt like Noah. Josh went out with his dad somewhere and he said, honey, you're going to have to put up the chickens. And I thought, oh, help us, Lord. I was like, well, what do you mean put them up? Because before, all they would do is just go up their little ramp and you'd shut the door. And that was the end of it. And he said, well, they're going to go up their little ramp and shut the door. And if any are out, you'll have to get them and put them in the coop. And I was like, well, what do you... Okay. And so he took off. And me and the chickens. So, it gets about to be dark time, and I walk outside to check on them, and our little baby chickens had all escaped their little tiny coop and their little tiny net that was supposed to hold their little tiny self in. So, there are 13 baby chickens scattered across the yard, and the big chickens are just walking around, and they're nowhere near their coop. And so as it begins to get dark, the baby chickens jump up in the outbuilding. I mean, I feel for Noah. I know what it's like to be Noah. So the baby chickens are jumping up in the tool shed, and they're roosting all over the tools and the paint and the shelves. And then the big chickens get confused because they don't know what to do. So they're looking at the baby chickens, and they start jumping in the outbuilding too. And then all of a sudden, my phone starts ringing. And I answer it, and it's Mom. I'm like, Mom, what do you need? I'm out here herding chickens. These chickens are nesting in the shed. What's going on? And Mom said, there's a chicken watching TV with me right now. And he's on the end table. And he's watching Wheel of Fortune with me. And I need you to come get this chicken off this end table and out of this house. He's trying to solve the puzzle. So, here I am. Baby chickens everywhere. Big chickens going crazy because they don't know what the baby chickens are doing. Roosters just crowing all over the place. And I leave them. And I say, I'm like Jesus with the good shepherd going to find the one lost sheep that made its way to the end table to watch TV. So, I get in the house, and I have pictures to prove this, y'all. You can't make this stuff up around here. And here is the bird sitting on the end table looking at the television. And Mom has a remote control, and she's waving at it going, don't come over here. Don't come over here, little chicken. I'll whop you with this thing. So Mom's waving her remote at the chicken, and it's watching TV. And I'm like, oh, Lord, help us. Mom's like, get a broom and beat the thing off the... And I'm like, it's going to go crazy. And the dogs are looking at it going, what are you doing in here? So I think, okay, maybe I can lure the little chicken out of the house. So I get a piece of bread, and I'm like, here, little chicken, chicken. And I start dropping breadcrumbs for it to eat. I promise you this will preach in a minute. Just stick with me. So dropping breadcrumbs for the little chicken. And the little chicken's looking at it like, what is this? And the dogs start jumping up and down in front of the chicken because they think I got a hot dog. So I'm like, okay, little puppies, come with me, come with me. And all the little puppies run. I throw a piece of bread in my mom's bedroom. They all run in there. I shut the door. So I've got the dogs pinned in the bedroom. The chicken's watching TV and Mom's waving her remote at it. You're not coming over here, little chicken. And who knows what the ones outside are doing. And it's almost dark. I'm not a chicken herder. I'm not a chicken herder. So, I get the broom, and I take it, and I start scooting it off of the end table. And it's squawking, and its wings are flapping, and it finally jumps down. And then it starts doing circles around Mom, and I bat it the other way with the broom, and it run around the back, and then it's going the other way. And so for 30 minutes, we're trying to herd this chicken out of the house. And then I get it to eating the bread, and I start dropping breadcrumbs. I'm like, here, little chicky chicky, here, little chicky chicky. And then it makes it to the laundry room. Thank God. One more room down. So I shut the living room door. It's in the laundry room. All I got to do is get it outside. I'm like, come here, little chicken. By that time, I'm mad at this chicken. I'm like, if you don't get out this house, you're going to be in the pot. We're going to have fried chicken. So, we didn't hurt the chicken, don't worry. I get the broom after it's pooped all over the laundry room, and I scoot it out of the house and shut the door. Well, then by then, it's dark. And you know, well, you may not know, I didn't know till we got chickens, but chickens don't move after it's dark. So, I look around and there are chickens roosted all over the yard. The chicken that was watching TV now goes underneath the house to roost. And I walk into the outbuilding, and there are chickens nested everywhere in the outbuilding. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And then I see a rooster, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. And so I shut the door, and I'm like, Josh can get these chickens out of here. When he gets back, they will live in there tonight. I didn't know what to do, so I put some food in the middle of the room and a little bowl of water. And I said, we'll see y'all in the morning. Shut the door. About that time, Josh came home, and he and his dad gathered up all the chickens and got them in their coop. And, oh, patience was tried aplenty that evening. We prayed for patience a couple of weeks ago. You remember? Well, I got a lesson in it. We do the same thing. God says, it's time to get in the ark. It's time to get in with my plan. Y'all didn't know this had a real meaning to it. Y'all thought I was just talking about remotes and chickens watching Wheel of Fortune and solving the puzzle. But we do the same thing with God. He's trying to get us in the coop, in His plan, on board His ark, in with His commands, His way of doing things. And we're like, ooh, I think this tool shed looks better. I think I'm going to go sit on top of this paint can all night. You know, I mean, we're like, no, I think I'll just wander into the house and sit on the end table and watch TV. And God's like, you're roosting, but you're in the wrong spot. I told you to go up the ramp and get into the coop. I told you to get into the ark. I told you these specific commands. Now quit trying to sit on the end table and watch TV and get where you're supposed to get. God does the same thing with us. I know how the Lord feels now, trying to get all of us to do what we're supposed to do. Let's just say there's a new coop in town with a big old fence around it after that night. And they cannot watch TV again. They can't even get to the TV. But see, that's what happens. We don't listen to the way things are supposed to be done, laid out in God's Word. And then there are consequences for us roosting on the end table. Or there's consequences for us planting ourselves in the shed. We think we know a better way to do things. But God is the one who has the best way. He has the best plan. And if we'll come in line with Him and get on board with what He is doing, things will go well and we will have protection. Y'all didn't know chickens would preach. So, in 7 days, it's going to rain. What's rain look like? I don't know. But in 7 days, it's raining. And can you imagine what the people around him are saying to Noah? What are these giraffes doing? What is going on? All these animals start walking up into the ark. Can you imagine the scene? And even so, in the last days it will be, when we start beginning to do the things God has called us to do in the last days, what are these Christian people doing? These crazy people. What are they doing? Now, I'm not saying giraffes are going to show up in your front yard and try to come in. But, you know, God can do whatever He wants. In 7 days, it's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance and thing that I've made, I will destroy and blot out and wipe away from the face of the earth. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Notice that's something that gets written over and over in these chapters. Noah did all God commanded him. Noah did all God commanded him. Noah did all God commanded him. Kelly needs to do all God commanded her. You and I need to do all God commanded us. That's the only way that in the last days we will be safe from the storm that is coming. Because if we read our Bible, and we read the book of Revelation, and we read the prophets, and we can see what is coming in the last day, and it's not necessarily pleasant. But if we do all God commanded us, there is an ark of protection, a place of safety for the people of God. God called for specifics. He didn't say, just get 6 or 7 animals, stick them on the ark, that'll be good enough. We'll make it work when the rain stops. You know, we'll take pieces of the giraffe and make a new line. No, He specifically set out specific things for him to do. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We must keep the command for obedience no matter how long it takes. Noah gave 100 years of obedience. 100 years of obedience. Some of us have trouble with 5 minutes of obedience. 100 years of obedience, not knowing what a flood looks like, not knowing what rain looks like, not knowing what the ark is going to look like when it's done, because they had never built one before. But he was prepared because he was assured it would happen because God said it. Will God find us prepared? I'm reminded of the parable of the virgins. Study that out this week too. Look it up. Google it if you don't know where it is specifically. Research it. There were 10. 5 had their oil in their lamp. Their wicks were trimmed and everything was ready. 5 didn't fill up their lamp with oil and they were left out. Let us be the one who are prepared, who has our lamps ready. Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 100 years of obedience. That's something. 100 years of obedience. Lord, help us to have that kind of obedience to His Word. Then notice the next thing that happened was there was separation from the world. Genesis chapter 7. So He tells him to come into the ark in the first 6, 7 days it's going to rain. And he was 600 years old when the floodwaters came upon the earth or land. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives went with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean, and of birds and fowls and of everything that creeps on the ground, the scorpions, the worms, all that, there went in 2 by 2 with Noah into the ark, male and female, as God commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the floodwaters came upon the earth and the land. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 17th day of the 2nd month, that same day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and burst forth, and the windows and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and it rained upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and the sons of Noah, and the Noah's wife, and the 3 wives of his sons went with him into the ark. And they, and every wild beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kind, and every moving thing that creeps upon the land according to its kind, and every fowl according to its kind, every winged thing of every sort, and they went into the ark with Noah, 2 and 2 of all flesh, which were there, were the breath and spirit of life, and they entered male and female of all flesh, went in as God commanded Noah, and the Lord shut him in and closed the door round about him. There was a separation that happened. The righteous from the unrighteous. All the people who had been acting crazy didn't get to go into the ark. Only people who were in right standing with God went into the ark. Only those who God commanded and said, you have found favor, you are in right standing, you are doing the will of God, you can go in. There is a narrow road that leads to heaven. And a lot of people think that they're on it and they're not. But a wide road leads to destruction. It says about that narrow road, few there be that find it. There was a separation. And there's coming another separation where God will separate once again the righteous and the unrighteous. And I don't know about you, but I want to be the one found in right standing with God. And it's going to take obedience to His Word, obeying every command. Notice, in all of that, when Noah didn't know exactly what was going on, or how it was going to happen, or how he was going to get the snakes to come on board the ark, he kept on working for 100 years, because he knew that if God said it, it would happen, and I better obey it. We need to be the same way. It said, the Lord shut him in and closed the door round about him. And all of the people who are saying, that crazy nutty Noah, what in the world is he doing? All the people who were living in such wicked sin, thinking that everything was okay, were outside of the ark, outside of the place of God's protection. And in these last days, there will be a place of God's protection. There will also be those who are not in it because they've chosen to not obey the commands of God. Verse 23, God destroyed and blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the earth. Man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heaven were destroyed and blotted out from the land. Only Noah remained alive and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed mightily upon the earth or land for 150 days, 5 months. That's a lot of rain. I felt like sometimes this past year we were going to have to turn that chicken coop upside down, hop in it, and ride. But, thank you, brother. But God is, there is coming a day, not by rain, but that we will be separated. God has called us to be separate from the world. If there's not something different about us, we are doing it wrong. Because there will always be something different about the people of God. But God loves people. He loves everyone. God loves us. He wouldn't do that to us. God's a person of His Word. And if you read His Word, there is a day of judgment coming. And even though He loves us, if we choose to separate ourselves from Him, if we choose to go away from Him and not to come into relationship with Him, then we will be separated eternally. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be fashioned after its way of doing things. Don't be doing things like the world does. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to be transformed, not conformed. We need to be transformed, not conformed. How do we do that? By the renewing of your mind, by the washing of our mind. And if we read in another verse of Scripture, I'll have the reference for you later, it says that we renew our mind, we transform ourselves by the washing of the water of the Word. It is His Word. It is His will. It is His plans. His Word that gets on the inside of us and then changes us. If we really read the Word of God, we can't help but change. If we truly love God, then there is the promise of obedience. Genesis 8, chapter 1, or chapter 8, verse 1. And God earnestly remembered Noah and every living thing and the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made the wind blow over the land, and the waters sank down and abated. Verse 13. In the year 601 of Noah's life. Woo! He was living long. 601. Took him 100 years to build the ark and 1 year to ride it. On the first day of the first month, the waters were drying up from the land. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the surface of the ground was drying. It wasn't even dry yet. And on the 27th day of the second month, the land was entirely dry. And God spoke to Noah, saying, go forth from the ark. I would have been like, yes, time to get off this ship. You and your wife and your sons and their wives with you. Verse 20. And Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean four-footed animal and every clean fowl or bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So what did Noah do? The very first thing when he got off the boat, he began to praise the Lord. He began to worship God. He began to offer sacrifices to the Lord. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, a scent of satisfaction to his heart, the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the imagination of man's heart is evil and wicked from his youth. Neither will I ever again smite or destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now look at chapter 9. And God pronounced a blessing on Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. He said, okay, guys, y'all been on this boat for a year. You're off of it now. And now that all the people that were here are gone, get busy putting them all back. So be fruitful, multiply, refill the earth. Verse 7, "And you, be fruitful and multiply, and bring abundantly to the earth, and multiply on it." Then God spoke to Noah and his sons with him, saying, "Behold, I will establish my covenant or pledge with you, and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, whether birds, the livestock, the wild beasts, the earth, along with you, as many as came out of the ark, and every animal on the earth. I will establish my covenant or my pledge with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by waters of a flood, neither shall there ever be a flood to destroy the entire earth and make it corrupt." And God said, "This is the token of the covenant, my solemn pledge, which I'm making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for future generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be a token or a sign of a covenant or solemn pledge between me and you and the earth." So God is making a pledge of protection and reminding them with a rainbow, "Never again will I flood the entire earth all at once again." So when you see a rainbow, it is a token of God's pledge from the days of Noah until now, that if you obey my command, if you stand with me, I make my agreement with you, and I promise you that you will be protected. God makes promises to us for our obedience. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24 as we close. Verse 3, "While he was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, 'Tell us, when will this take place?'" They're talking about the end of the earth, the days we're living in now. "What will be a sign of your coming and the end and the completion of the age?" And Jesus answered to them, "Be careful that no one misleads you and deceives you into error. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ, the Messiah,' and they will lead many people astray." This is talking about us today. "You will hear of war and rumor of war. Don't be frightened or troubled, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes," the King James says, "in diverse places," strange places. "All of this is but the beginning. The early pains of the birth pains of the intolerable anguish. Then they will hand you over to suffer an affliction and tribulation and be put to death. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended and repelled and begin to distrust and desert, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many and lead many into error. And the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. But he who endures to the end will be saved." This good news of the kingdom, the gospel, will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. So when you see the appalling sacrilege, the abomination that astonishes and makes desolate, spoken by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader take note and ponder and consider and heed this. I encourage you to read Daniel. It gives some references for you to check out this week about what Daniel saw and wrote down about what would happen in the days that we live in now. Verse 21, "Then there will be great tribulation, distress, affliction, oppression, such as not yet been from the beginning of the world until now, and no, will never be again. And if those days had not been shortened, no human being would endure or survive. But for the sake of the elect, God's chosen ones, those days will be shortened." Verse 27, "For just as lightning flashes from the east and shines and is seen as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." Look at verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation in those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not shed its light. The stars will fall from the sky. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. And the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn and beat their breasts in lament and anguish. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Verse 37. "As were the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For just as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, making merry, and women given in marriage, until the very day when Noah went into the ark. And they did not know or understand until the flood came and swept them all away. so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Dark days are coming. But for the children of God, there is an ark. And it's time to build it and gather what God tells us together and get on board and take as many with us. This ark isn't just for one family. Well, I guess it technically is. It's for the family of God. And you can be in the family of God. All you have to do is repent, ask God to forgive you, come in right standing, right relationship with Him, and you are on your way to being in the family of God. This ark of the last day, the modern day ark, is what God has called us to get on board and complete His will, His purpose, what He wants done in these last days. We're going to continue to talk about this modern day ark in the weeks to come. But just know that if God asks you to do something a little nutty, don't think it's anything strange. Walk in obedience. Obey His command. Bring your life, my life, in line with His word. And there is an ark of safety, no matter what kind of trouble we will see. Because Matthew tells us we will see trouble. But for the family of God, there is an ark of obedience. Let's stand. God, we thank You that You give us wisdom and knowledge to know the times and seasons that we're living in. And God, I pray that You would help us to be prepared.
Thank you for joining us today. We would love to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1004. That's P.O. Box 1004, Monticello, Arkansas, 71657. Or you can email us at lci.monticello@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. You can also check out our website. It's www.getlife.co. That's www.getlife.co. There you can find Pastor Kelly and Pastor Josh's sermon notes, and you can see what's going on all through the week at Life Church. We would love to have you in one of our services with us. Join us Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. for a worship service. Pastor Kelly ministers, and it's a great time in the presence of God. Or you can join us for Digging Deep on Tuesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Pastor Josh digs into the Word of God, connecting the Old Testament with the New Testament and giving us a fresh biblical perspective from God's point of view. We hope that you have a great week this week. Remember, go live to make God look good. God bless you till we're with you again.